Now the verse, the next verse is the clincher.
But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned.
But
nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you.
I just wanted one of those thoughts to deal with at a time. We'll take the first thought and forget the spare you thought for a minute. If you're unloosed from a woman, that means you've been tied and untied, don't get remarried. But if you do, it is not sin. How is that clear? Is it in your Bible? Is it in black and white? Now you get to make a choice between that verse and what Grandma taught you. Make your choice. What's your authority? If you're going to stay in Grandma's society, choose Grandma. I'm clear on this, am I not?
Yes.
If you're going to choose the Bible, it may be that you'll have to leave your society. My book, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage, was analyzed by 60 Jesuit priests who went aside and in a seminar just like this one in Boston, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they went over every scripture and everything that's in my book, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. They wrote me a very nice letter and said, Brother Ebaugh, we've analyzed your book, and you're absolutely 100% right. Every scripture, every thought, every concept that you've given is correct. But we cannot embrace it at the present time because our society is based on tradition and Bible truth. Now, listen, I'm not putting them down. They recognize it. Anyone, you just go to one of those churches and ask, yes, sir, it's tradition and biblical truth. And it's a combination that makes us strong. And therefore, we believe that eventually we will embrace what you teach. But for now, we can't. As far as I'm concerned, that's a real pat on the back for me. Because Jesuit priests are smart men. You understand that? They're the brilliant of the Roman Catholic society. And they've looked it over and said, yep, it's right, but nope, it doesn't fit our society. And do you know what? That's exactly what I say in the books. It doesn't fit the society. So don't try to force your rules into that society. Don't try to take your Bible into the priest and say, but look at what it says. This is just for you, to relieve you of condemnation from that society, but it's not for you to change that society. Of all the denominations and all the societies and all the religious groups that I've had to deal with, Roman Catholics are the only ones who have changed their rules. I have never seen the Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Pentecostals change their rules.
That's right.
But even the Roman Catholics threw out 49 saints. You understand what I'm saying? And they taught their people to start reading the Bible. And they're changing their rules. Protestants won't. But I'm not putting down Protestants because it took the Catholics 1,800 years to change them. Perhaps in 1,800 years, even the Methodists will change some of their rules. So I find no fault with any group, but I definitely am putting labels. Now, will you also, I see your hand, but let me finish this thought. Will you agree with me that if I wasn't right, this would be extremely dangerous to teach a wide-based group?
Amen. Yeah, amen.
If I didn't have Bible scripture to stand on, I know I got Romans right here in this group. And I know I got Protestants and Methodists and Presbyterians and Assembly of God. And if I didn't have black and white scripture, see, somebody would really shoot me down.
That's right.
Because, you know, it's they're interested in protecting their tradition. Has everybody marked their Bible? Can you go back and if anybody brings you under condemnation for anything, can you show why Jesus brings you another chance? Can you turn to anybody sweetly and without wrath and say, but my God is the God of another chance? Can you do that? My God is the God of another chance. If somebody brings you condemnation, if somebody brings to you from your society the idea that you are not worth it and that your life is ruined, you might as well barely exist through the rest of your life and, you know, go the way of all flesh, can you give them scripture for the hope that lieth within you? Can you do it? Minister came visiting to our house. This was years ago when I was president of the Full Gospel, and we used to entertain visiting ministers and have, well, like I'm being entertained here at this place. We had a, now I want to say this clearly, we do not have brick and mortar as far as a Bible school. I got a house. I got a very large house because I was a supervisor of engineers prior to entering the ministry, and we had a very high standard of living then. And praise God, I'd like to say this, our standard has not diminished. We're still in the large home and that kind of stuff. We were entertaining this fellow, and he told me this story about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. He was raised in a certain fundamentalistic denomination that comes from the South. He was taught all the things you were taught about condemnation and God can't do anything with him and so forth. And he was traveling, and he went to a certain church in his group and denomination, and there was brought to him for counseling a young lady, a very pregnant young lady, tagging on to her apron strings were three very small children in diapers, pregnant with a fourth. Her body was bruised with the marks inflicted by a drunken, mean, aggressive husband. He was taught that he was her boss. And if he knocked her teeth out, it was because God told him to. He was the man, she was the woman. Shut up, female. That was his religion. He was taught that he was boss because he was male. It was his religion. She couldn't take any more. There comes a time when the human, we're frail. And there's only so much a person can take. And after that, you pass your limit. She had come very close to her limit that night, asking the local pastor. He wasn't going to tell her what the Bible said because he was in the structure. Asking the man who was there telling me the story. He wasn't going to tell her because he believed the other. He advised her. God says you submit to that man and you take another bruise on the other side. She went home. She had gone to God in the best way she knew. She was reaching out for help in the only way the woman knew. She was probably still in her teens. I don't know exactly, but you get the picture. And the ministers couldn't help. The Bible couldn't help. Her society and her mother couldn't help. But the gun in the bureau drawer did. The pastor was awakened about 1 o'clock in the morning by a frantic phone call. Hurry and get over here. She shot herself. She was dead before he got to the house. That's God. That's the God of the church. The God of the denomination. It's the only way she knew. To get out of a, excuse the expression, hell of a mess. A life of hell. That's what they wanted. That's what society demanded. That probably won't happen to anyone here because you've seen the difference now. You've got the scripture. You've got the Bible. You can make decisions between right and wrong. This girl couldn't. I'm not even sure she could read, or at least she wasn't, you know, she was in a type of society that didn't expect her to make any decisions on what she read anyway. We can be sorry for her, but I want you to be glad for yourself. God has chosen you, given you insight. The 200 million people in the United States don't have. You can take your Bible to any Christian fundamentalist Pentecostal home among the 200 million people in the United States, and there's not going to be one in 10,000 that'll show you those verses. They're there, but they won't show them to you. I honestly believe they'd rather see you blow your head off than to interfere with their traditions. I believe that. Now, you can take it or leave it, but I've come to that conclusion. And they're convinced that they're doing God a favor by killing you. That's Bible, you know. Jesus warned us the time would come. Father against son, mother against daughter-in-law. There are those who say, Ebaugh, these traditions are these teachings and your going against tradition like this is controversial. And Jesus brings unity. And God brings unity among the people. How many times, as president of the Full Gospel Businessman, have I heard a call and says, don't have that man. He brings division. Don't let him speak at our chapter. I was the final authority in making these decisions, and people would call me with their advice. I guess it was more than advice. Jesus said, do you think that I came to bring peace on the earth? I tell you nay. I have come to bring a sword, and this sword will divide households. There are those who say truth brings together. I point you to the scripture that says truth divides. Now I'd like to speak to Charles and Polly for just a minute. If I was you, and I was interested in building Pinecrest, I would never have a teacher. I would never invite a teacher. How many understood what I just said then? Because truth divides. I'd get a quartet, brother. Singing and worship brings people together. I could, I'd find some people with a drum like this guy's got. I never saw a drum like that before. Well, that is neat, isn't it? If it wasn't for the fact that covetousness is a sin, I'd covet that drum. Now, that'll build. Unless you're sitting just behind it. That'll bring people. Worship will bring people and build. But teaching will divide. And if you don't believe that, I knew that when I came here, and I saw it happen, and I saw it as we laid it out. We watched people accept and reject. We watched people get polarized. Betty and I would go back and we'd say, well, I wonder how so-and-so took that, or how the one who's dressed like this react. We can watch, you know.
Yes.
And we see it. We're sensitive to it. We can't do anything about it. If there was some way that I could take that scripture out of the Bible, that's one of them I'd take out. Because I'd rather have teaching bring people together. Because I love people. I love crowds. I love to see everybody agree with me because I'm right. But that's not what my boss said it would be. There's one other scripture that I'd like to cross out the first part of. By patient continuance in well-doing, seek glory and honor and immortality, and you'll get eternal life. I like the last part of that verse. I don't like the first. The first part goes by patient continuance in well-doing. Oh, that's horrible. Who wants patience? Who wants continuance? Who wants well-doing? Patient, continue. I get tired every time I read the verse. Patient, continuance, be well-doing. Woo! I don't want to have patient continuance and well-doing. Why, listen here. I got a bumper sticker that says, send me patience and send it now. I don't want patience, continuance, well-doing. Why, man, my prayer is sock it to me. Who wants to learn patience? It tells you real clear in the Bible, tribulation bringeth patience. Huh. And I don't like tribulation. And so, patient continuance and well-doing is the answer to your present marriage situation. Did you hear it? Patient continuance and well-doing is the answer. It's Bible. It's in Romans 2:7. I don't like it, but there it is. And if I could wind it up for you and say, patient continuance is your answer. Let me say it another way. Hang in there, baby. Work it out. Did you hear what I said? Work it out. Don't get divorced. Don't get separated. Just out of the frying pan into the fire. But if you are, if you do decide that you must, give me a call. I got some new scriptures for you. I'm sorry if you do. I think you made a mistake. But I wouldn't put you under condemnation for a mistake, since I made one once. And now we'll talk about, should a divorced minister, should a divorced couple be in the ministry? Is that reasonable? Is that pretty much the question here? I have a scripture for you on that. Isn't it neat that I don't have to always give you my opinion? it is. I want to get to the right one. It's in Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. Should a person who is divorced be in the ministry? It's in Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. I think that it settles the question. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. Would you read it to them, please? I want to get it on the tape. Oh, there's no...
The Lord said also unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away. I had given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not.
We'll stop there. I'm going to stop you there. I don't want to get off on some other subjects. God got a divorce. He gave a bill of divorcement to Israel and Judah. Did he stay in the ministry? What can I say? If your denomination has rules, remember, Brother Ebo, we have a standard to uphold. Has rules that are superior to God's rules, then of course you couldn't stay in the ministry in that group. I don't think we have to say any more to that question. You know who he married? Well, that's Jesus. God married the Goyim. Goyim. The nations. You Gentile. He divorced Israel and Judah and married the Gentiles. Praise God. He's your husband. Now, how many understand that? Our God's the God of another chance. Take it or leave it. I'm going to pray for you now, and when I pray, I'm going to pray that your whole spirit and soul and body will not only be preserved, but be fulfilled. Your mate cannot fulfill the need of your spirit. Did you hear that? You can look to your mate for fulfillment in body, for fulfillment in mind, and if you don't look to your mate for fulfillment in soul, then your body fulfillment will lessen and lessen until it's not even there, and you won't even have a marriage. But the only mate for your spirit is God. Now, I hit that thing yesterday morning about Yahweh, El Shaddai, Elohim. Did I tell you about El Elyon? Yahweh, Israel's God, masculine, forceful, projective, overshadowing. El Shaddai, feminine, the large or multi-breasted one, out of the Hebrew, the provider, the milk giver. You understand what I'm doing? When they come together, the family name, Elohim, and every reference to creation is Elohim. It was Elohim created, never Yahweh, never El Shaddai. But in combination, Yahweh and El Shaddai became the creator. How many understand the esoteric meaning of this? Then, because Elohim created, he was the possessor of all that is created, and his name is El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and of earth. So I'm saying, Ebal, what are you doing? Teaching a lot of different gods? No, because it's all the same God. The Lord our God is one Lord. You understand what I've just said? This is a mystery called the mystery of the Godhead. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a mystery too. I've looked you over and it's a real mystery. How can God be in his Son flying down in a dove at the same time? It's a mystery. How many, you see what I'm talking about? It's a mystery. And it's all God. But these are various attributes of God and various names of God that are referred to in the Bible. When you begin to study and find out, you find out that God is a lover. God is a creator. I'm going to say it another way. And there was a great pit, Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 through 13. And up out of the pit came this smoke and torment and locusts. And they had a king over them whose name had in the Hebrew tongue Abaddon, but the Greek tongue had this name Apollyon, which means Apollo. And that means destroyer. The acts of God are loving and creative. The acts of the adversary are destructive and hateful. When in your marriage relationships you feel hateful and destructive, you don't have to have the gift of discernment to know who's talking to you. If your thoughts and acts are loving and creating, then they're in harmony with the Godhead. If you don't remember anything else, remember to be a creator, not a destroyer. See? The basic principle is to create, not destroy. The God principle is to create. Now, create means love. You know that. It takes love to come into creation, and it takes hate to destroy. When you're motivated by hatred and destructive thoughts, then cast them out in Jesus' name. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. When you're motivated by love and creative thoughts, acts, go to it. Follow through. God is a lover. God got married. God got divorced. God got remarried to a new bride. Because the bride he had wouldn't create. Wouldn't love. Wouldn't produce. He said, I'm getting me a different bride. A woman who'll love. A woman who'll produce. A woman who'll create. Pattern's there. Now, I have never suggested divorce. I have always recommended working it out. But if you, in your particular circumstance, say, David, it will not work. It is an immovable object, an irresistible force. There's going to be an atomic explosion. I still will advise you based on my understanding, to make every effort to work it out. And when you say it's too late, conditions have now changed and it cannot be worked out, then I'll offer you hope, new rules, a better life, and a better future. Only this time, be a little smarter than you were. Paul says, let it be in the Lord. Somebody said, well, brother, I want to marry that boy, and oh, he's just the only one for me, and he's perfect, but he's not saved, and don't you think if I married him and showed him how Christians live, he'd get saved? Come on, what advice would you give that girl? You're giving that advice from experience, aren't you? But don't you understand, she's got stars in her eyes. She's absolutely convinced that everything she ever wanted, that's what he wants. She's convinced that she can fulfill his life, and that is responsive lover, he will be able to understand where she's coming from. Experience indicates, baby, you got stars in your eyes. And that rocks in your head. Thank you. Now, I want to pray for you like I was asking you to pray a minute ago. Would you stand with me? Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for eyes that see and ears that hear. 2,000 years ago, we were trying to see things and we couldn't see them. We were trying to hear things and we couldn't hear. We said, we see, and you said, therefore, your sin remaineth. We pray, Lord, that we'll have eyes that see truly spiritual truths and not get mixed up with temporal matters. We pray that we'll have ears that hear spiritual truths and be responsive and not be bound by the sin that doth so easily beset us. We pray, Lord, that each one of us will have acumen and sensitivity to know what you're telling us. And then we'll have the power to follow it. For times when we're so blind, we pray that you'll just go ahead and lock and close the door so we won't get in trouble by going where we ought to stay away from. And we pray, Lord, that when we can see and we have the power, we'll have the strength to go into the doors that you've opened for us. And now, Lord, we pray that every spirit here, every heart, in Jesus' name, every heart here, there'll be nobody get out of here without Jesus in the heart. Every spirit will say yes to Jesus Christ. No matter what the background, no matter what the denomination, no matter what the church, that the teachings that we've heard today will indicate that the first step is Jesus in the heart. There'll be nobody get out of here without Jesus in the heart. In Jesus' name, every heart's door open to Jesus right now. And we also pray that every soul will say yes to the Holy Ghost. The changes in the mind realm will begin to take place. Receiving with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls, change our minds, make us from what we are into what we ought to be. We pray, Lord, that nobody will get out of here the way they are. But everybody will change in the mind realm, receiving the engrafted word to what we ought to be. And now, Lord, we pray in the physical body. Oh, Lord, these physical bodies. We stand as candidates for the changes necessary. Not only they, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. We're groaning in ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of this physical body. We present the body to you for redemption as well. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming our spirit in the past. Thank you, Lord, for sending the Holy Ghost to presently change our minds and redeem our souls. And thank you, Lord, by hope in the future when that day shall come and the Christ shall appear and this which is corruptible will put on incorruption. This which is mortal will put on immortality. And we shall be changed. Amen. in the physical body as well. We pray, Lord, for that change, and we stand as candidates for all changes necessary so that we can make it. Now we pray that every spirit and every soul and every body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David Evall Bible School.